Have you ever had one of those weeks? Have you ever had one of those weeks? I feel like I just ran about 5 marathons to get to you all today. I felt like Rocky when I came up the steps. You know, Rocky goes up the steps after that iconic workout scene and he's jumping up and down. Yeah, I made it. That's what I feel like today. We had a week. More about that later. But I will tell you that this week included a fire extinguisher discharge at our house, and there was no fire. The fire extinguisher was discharged into the linen closet that had about 75 blankets and sheets in it. So they do all have to be washed. They're all waiting for me to wash them. The fire extinguisher was discharged into 3 open drawers of clothing. Yes, they all had to be washed. It was discharged into about 4 rooms. Yes, they all had to be cleaned. They were cleaned. But it continues to settle. So you had to clean, clean, re-clean. Thank you, Mark, for helping out with that process. You're awesome. That wasn't the worst thing that happened this week. But I am so glad that I'm here with you all today. There's nowhere else I'd rather be. Cooperstown on Hall of Fame induction ceremony Sunday is a close second, but there's no place I'd rather be. We are privileged enough today to look at Galatians 3. We're going to start in verse 26, an odd place to start, but you'll figure out what I'm doing here in a minute. Galatians 3, 26 through 29. For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus. And all who have been united with Jesus in baptism have put on Jesus like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Jesus. And now that you belong to Jesus, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. That's how the third chapter of Galatians ends. And that's where we're going to start and end today. It's what we're going to build up to. I want you to think of it this way. So we've all seen projects, like a building project, something that's being built, a building, a bridge, a church, a school, a park. And what's the first thing they do? They draw out what they're going to build. They sketch out what they're going to build. So before it's even built, you see what's going to be there. I want you to think of it that way. The drawings before the project take place that show what it will be when it's complete, when the vision is just a dream or a concept. Verses 26 through 29 are the drawings. That's what the completed Galatians 3 project is going to look like today. So we'll move forward together and find out exactly what this promise is that God made us through Abraham and what it means for us. I want to open in prayer, and I ask that you pray with me. Lord, nothing else really matters. We get right down to it. Nothing else really matters except what you did for us. And what you do for us, and what you provide us. There's so much in Galatians 3 that we can cling to, that we can hope for, and that we receive. But the choice is ours. I pray that today, that Galatians 3 is clear to us, give us great clarity, give us what you want us to see in Galatians 3, what you want us to take away from it. We turn ourselves over to you, Lord. And we do that now. We do that for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The past 2 Sundays, Andy has done a solid job of leading us through the first 2 chapters of Galatians. So we now head into chapter 3 that Paul wrote of this letter, of this book of the Bible. And he wrote this letter, it actually was a letter, to a group of churches in Galatia that he had helped plant. So when we're reading Galatians, he didn't currently live there, and he wasn't from there, but he went there to plant churches, and then he was communicating back to them after he had already left. And these churches were planted as a result of faith in Jesus, the Savior of their world, who had been promised to them for generations and generations, and in whom these churchgoers had placed their faith. But, like we all do at times, these churches had gotten off course and started to try to do things by their own power and not by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not by the power of the Holy Spirit living through them and their faith in Jesus living through them. They reverted back, like so many of us always do. They reverted back to a set of rules and regulations that they called the law. And they were followed by the Jews in Old Testament times before Jesus. And in doing so, they were saying that though they believed in Jesus, his power alone was not enough to save them. That they could once again have access to God through their own power and their own works and what they did. Not what Jesus did for them, but what they did. And that is why, after greeting the churches in Galatia at the beginning of this letter, Paul wrote in chapter 1, verse 6, gives them a real nice greeting, first five verses, and then verse 6 he says, "I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Jesus." So that's how it starts. This letter is Paul's argument that the church should live with Holy Spirit power and grace, not by the rules, not by works, not by anything that we create, but by the Holy Spirit living through us. And our main takeaway in Galatians so far, leading up to this point, is that we are saved by grace and must live by grace. So that was chapter 1. And chapter 2 is Paul's argument on why he was sent by God to help free the Galatians. To help free the Gentiles. And a Gentile is anybody who is not born of Jewish descent. So he makes the argument of why he was chosen, why God chose him, when there were so many other, what the church in Galatia figured and thought was better options. He said, "Here's why God chose me. Here's why I'm talking to you." So let's read verse 1 in Galatians 3. And as we do, you'll probably be able to tell why I didn't open with verse 1 today. Galatians 3:1. "Oh, foolish Galatians." That's an awkward way to open a chapter, right? Even more awkward way to open a sermon. But Paul, in his wisdom, and what I like to call his holy aggression, was never one to mince words with anybody. "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus' death was made as clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross." In other words, what do you want me to do, draw you a picture? You know the truth. You believed. You had faith. We lived faithfully together. You lived it out. Who or what got you so off course? Who convinced you that you can be saved by your own works, by your own merits, by your own anything? What is going on here? Can't you hear Paul asking these questions, these same questions, to the modern church? You know the truth, church. You've seen God work in your lives. You've professed faith in him. Why are you trying to live by your own power? Why are you trying to live through your own works? Who taught you this way of living? I, Paul, helped teach you the truth. Don't you know the truth? I helped teach it to you. Verse 3, "How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? Have you experienced so much for nothing? Surely it wasn't in vain, was it?" So if you're a parent, if you're a teacher, if you're a coach, if you're a manager, if you're a mentor, you know exactly what Paul's getting at here. You can see Paul saying to them, as I'm sure you've said to the people that you coach or parent teach, we've talked about this before. I've already taught you this. You know the truth. We covered that lesson a long time ago. We've covered that lesson dozens of times. I have this conversation with our kids dozens of times a week. We already talked about that. Why are you still doing things you've been taught not to do? Starting back with verse 6. In the same way, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. What's more, the scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. I want to focus just a little bit on the phrase, the scriptures looked forward, because it serves two purposes here. Number one, very simply, the Old Testament scriptures told that this would happen before it did. Just like it did so many times, the Old Testament scriptures foretold this. It told before this happened that it was going to happen, and it was correct. The second thing I want you to see is Paul is telling them, chastising them really, by saying, the scriptures told it. You know the scriptures, you placed your faith in God, and you still messed it up. Does it sound like he's preaching to us here too? That's because he is. The word of God is living and active. We place our faith in Jesus. We're doing good. And then we get sidetracked. We get sidetracked by a comment. We get sidetracked by an event. We get sidetracked by a season. A lack of faith. We get sidetracked by life. We get sidetracked by the worst week ever. Let's take a look back at the promise God made to Abraham that Paul references in Galatians 3. And as we do, we'll start to notice one of the key themes in this chapter. So we're going to go way back. First book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Genesis 15:1. The Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision and said, "Do not be afraid, for I will protect you, and your reward will be great." But Abraham replies, "Lord, what good are your blessings when I don't even have a son? Since you've given me no children, a servant in my household will inherit all my wealth." So here we can see Abraham's faith is wavering, which is ironic because Abraham's known as one of the most faithful people in the Bible, especially the Old Testament. He's telling God, "I've heard all this before. Everything you're talking, I've heard before. That generations after me will be blessed. One problem I have for you. I have no son." I don't know if you realize that or not. I have no son. There will be no generations after me. That's what Abraham is telling God. I have nobody after me to receive this promise. Verse 3, "You have given me no descendants of my own, so one of my servants will be my heir." Then the Lord said to him, "No, your servant will not be your heir, for you will have a son of your own who will be your heir." Then the Lord took Abraham outside and said to him, "Look up into the sky and count the stars if you can." I love that phrase right there, "if you can." It's impossible to count the stars on a starry night, on a clear night. And you all know that. "Count the stars if you can. That is how many descendants you will have." And Abraham believed the Lord, and the Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Don't miss one of the key parts of the story as a side note. Abraham doubted. This great man of faith, Abraham doubted. Abraham questioned. Abraham took those worries straight to God. He was not afraid to ask him, "Look, God, you're telling me all this stuff is not happening. Why should I still have faith?" And it ends with, Abraham is faithful. The Lord counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now going back to Galatians, where it mentions Abraham, chapter 3, verse 8. The scriptures looked forward to this time when God would declare the Gentiles to be righteous because of their faith. God proclaimed this good news to Abraham long ago when he said, all nations will be blessed through you. So all who put their faith in Jesus share the same blessing Abraham received because of his faith. This was revolutionary at the time because Jesus was presented to the Jews, right? Not the Gentiles. And Galatians 3 tears that down. And don't miss this, because this promise is now ours. This promise is yours. This promise is mine. Abraham, because of your faith, I will protect you, and your reward will be great. Paul is saying, because of your faith, that promise now belongs to you. God's protection and security belong to you. God's reward for faithfulness now belongs to you. Praise God that he who protected and rewarded Abraham because of his faith now does the same thing for us. That's our key takeaway from Galatians 3. Our faith in God leads to security in God. Our faith in God leads to security in God. Continuing on with verse 10, we see that the blessings that can be ours become an either-or choice. We have the choice. Those who depend on the law to make them right with God are under his curse. It is clear that no one can be made right with God by trying to keep the law, for the scriptures say it is through faith that a righteous person has life. Skipping down to verse 13, Jesus has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. Through Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessings he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promises, Holy Spirit, the promise Holy Spirit through faith. There is freedom from ourselves. There is freedom from sin. There's freedom from the law through faith in Jesus. There's freedom from this world through faith in Jesus. Jesus tore down every barrier between us and God. And with that, he made the law unnecessary. He made the law things that we do, things that we have to do to attain contact with him. He made that a thing of the past. And he did that through his love. And don't miss this in Galatians, through his grace. Grace that is so overwhelming, it just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to us. And I think that seems to be what we get caught up in. It doesn't make any sense that we did nothing to get the greatest gift that we've ever been given or ever will be given. We did nothing to receive it. Most of us, definitely me included, have a I get what I earn mentality. If we want something, we work for it. In my mind, I've never had a problem that I can't outwork. A lot of you are the same way. If we want something, we work for it. Material things, better relationships, better jobs, financial independence. We work to achieve better results. We put in the time, we put in the effort, the dedication, the discipline, and we get great rewards. If you put good in, you'll get good out. We can't work to attain grace from God. Can't do it. There's nothing we can do to earn it. There's nothing we can do to pay it back. There's nothing we can do to earn more of it. It's over. It's done. The grace is there for us to receive or not to receive. The choice is ours. The churches in Galatia knew the truth, and they believed through faith, but they went sideways, believing that grace was still something that they had to earn. God's grace was still something that they had to earn in their minds. And Paul is telling them, and he's telling us today, point by point, that's ridiculous. Faith, he says, faith leads to blessings. Faith leads to security. You may be asking yourself at this point, if all that's true, Why did they even have to have the law in the first place? Verse 19 answers that question for us. Why then was the law given? It was given alongside the promise to show people their sins. But the law was designed to last only until the coming of the child being Jesus, who was promised. The law was designed to last only until the coming of the child, Jesus, who was promised. Thank you, God, for your remarkable grace. We'll never earn it. We'll never know personally what it was like to live before Jesus was sent here and offered us that grace. But we thank you, and we're thankful because of it. We're faithful because of it. Starting back with verse 22, but the scriptures declare that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus. Freedom and security through the gift of God's grace. I want to share with you a story of how God provided security through faith to our family this week. So a lot of you know that Friday was a court date for our daughter, the one who is in foster care still. And this court date was what they call TPR. And TPR stands for Termination of Parental Rights. And it's a brutal process. It is after months and months and sometimes years and years of evaluations, tests, social worker visits. At that point in time, if a TPR is necessary, then the biological parents' parental rights are terminated, and that is all a huge process. And it all came down to Friday being the day, and we've known that Friday is the day for a long time. So like you should do with every child who is in that situation, we geared her up that Friday's the day. You have to emotionally prepare the child for that, all right? And so you do that through conversations, through open discussions, through asking them if they have any questions, and you also do that through a therapist. So the child's therapist talked to her, let her know what was coming, ask her if she had any questions, any concerns, all that good stuff. So you're building up for Friday, all right? A lot of preparation goes into it, a lot of time, years worth of effort, years worth of decisions that go into it. And then we get there Friday, and we go into court, and it's kind of quiet, it's kind of weird, it's kind of odd. And the judge comes out and talks to me, Denise, and the social worker, and says, I guess you didn't hear. And that's an awkward way to start. And we said, hear what? Well, one of the lawyer's car broke down, so we're probably going to have to delay this. So immediately Denise starts crying. She's super disappointed. As I see her disappointment, and I realize what we're, and she realizes, and I realize what this is going to do to the child, anger starts welling up. And I'm getting angry. And I'm getting beyond angry. I'm getting livid. Because it's just not acceptable to let something as simple and fixable as that to delay the process even more. All right? Let me pause right there and say, when you preach on grace, preach on security through it, God will test it every single time. Andy, am I right? God will test it. All right? So that court date did end. And it ended with the judge saying, we're going to have to come back together at a later date. And I'm over here saying, can't somebody go pick this guy up? Can't this guy take an Uber like everybody else in the world would? Do we really have to put the child through this? Is the system really this stupid that we can't figure out a broken down car? We can't delay it for an hour and then come back together? So I'm getting worked up. The niece is trying to calm me down. And it ends. And we walk out of the courtroom dejected, heartbroken, and knowing that we're going to have a conversation that we don't want to have. And we're going to have to put up with more behaviors that we don't want to put up with. And it's not just about us. It's about the child. Behaviors that she's going to display because the system worked against her for that day. So we leave, we're disappointed. We get back on the road towards Louisville. We're in a traffic jam. We're silent, we're angry, we're heartbroken. We spend several minutes in silence. And then Denise says, "You know what? God's timing always works out. Something is going on that we don't see that God is still working out. We have to be faithful in that, and we have to know that he's going to work this out for good." So I grab her hand, and I say, "You're absolutely right. Let's pray about it. Let's give this back to God." So what we're supposed to do, right? I didn't do it in the moment, but I eventually got there, right? Not 3 minutes later, dead serious, when we gave our faith back to God, right, gave him control and decided to stop worrying about it and let him do what he does, less than 3 minutes later, we get a phone call from the social worker that says, "Look, you don't have to come back to the courthouse, but I've just been summoned back to the courthouse. It looks like biological mom is going to sign away her rights today." So, you can look at that any way you want to look at it. I and Denise look at it as there was hundreds and probably thousands of people praying for that moment. And we look at it as our security is in Jesus because of our faith. The moment we decided to stop controlling and give him back what he's given us and be secure in that is the moment that situation flipped. Our faith in God leads to security in God. It sounds simple, but we lived it out this week. And it was emotional. It was heartbreaking. And it was devastation turned to joy in the matter of seconds. Our faith in God leads to security in God. Galatians 3, 23 through 29. "Before the way of faith in Jesus was available to us, we were placed under guard by the law." Notice that the law provided security then, like faith in Jesus does now. "We were kept in protective custody, so to speak, until the way of faith was revealed." Let me put it another way. The law was our guardian until Jesus came. It protected us until we could be made right with God through faith. And now that the way of faith has come, we no longer need the law as our guardian. "For you are all children of God through faith in Jesus." You've heard this before, right? "And all who have been united with Jesus in baptism have put on Jesus like putting on new clothes. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female. For you are all one in Jesus. And now that you belong to Jesus, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you." What do you find your security in? Are you keeping yourself in protective custody, as mentioned in verse 23, believing in God, going through the Christian motions, but ultimately living in fear, living in insecurity, living in worry? What do you find your security in? Better question, who do you find your security in? Our faith in God leads to security in God. Will you pray with me, please? God, it's so easy to say that we have faith and to not put that in practice. Being faithful and living faithfully is so much easier is so much harder than just saying it. Living it and putting it in practice is so hard. But Galatians 3 proves that our security is in that, through faith in you, faith in Jesus, who came to save us, who came to give us ultimate security. So I pray power on everybody who can hear my voice right now to live lives of faith, to embrace the promise that was made to Abraham and through Abraham to us. Abraham, a giant of faith, passes it on to us. I pray that we can be known as a church of faithful people. Not faithful to the church, but faithful to you through the work that's done at the church. Faithful to you, God, for what you've done for us. Everything you've done for us. It's so much, Lord. It's so much. And we try to earn it, and we try to work for it, and that's just another roadblock to us not receiving it. I pray that everybody who has that mentality, just like me, that it's something that you have to work for or earn through your works, or that something that you can outwork or you can work to gain more of it. I pray that you strip that away from us today, Lord. You broke down that barrier when you sent Jesus, and I pray that we receive that today. The choice is ours, and I pray that we can receive that today, Lord. Galatians 3 is incredible. We're so thankful for it. We're so thankful for the reminders, the promises, the choices. We love you for it. If you're a Jesus follower already, the choice is yours. Maybe you're living an incredibly faithful life, and you can share your testimony with the rest of us on what that looks like, how you do it, and what God has done in your life for that. Share that. Share it with other people. Get it and give it away. If you're a Jesus follower already, and you're not living a life that's completely based on faith, I challenge and encourage you to do so today. And the first thing you want to do is just give that to God. Give your worries, give your insecurity, give it to God in this moment. Just tell him, look, Lord, I believe in you, but I'm still struggling with control, still struggling with faith, and I need you to help finish that work in me, complete that work in me. Tell him that today, Lord. Tell him that today. If you're not a Jesus follower already, today is a perfect day to accept him into your life. Galatians 3 is the perfect lead in to do so. And if you're not and you don't know how to accept him, you just say, Lord, I recognize the need for you in my life as my Savior. I recognize what you did for me, and I want to receive you into my life today. Just tell him that. Make the choice. It's an either or choice. Make it today. Lord, bless the decisions that are being made. Bless the thoughts in people's minds. The thoughts that are wanting to be more like you. Wanting to gain more faith in you. Wanting to receive more faith in you. Not something we can earn, but something we choose. I pray that you will honor that, Lord. Continue to honor that as we honor you. I pray that we can glorify you in everything we do, including the way that we respond to Galatians 3. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. While Jared plays us out here, I want you to think about this. Do you feel like you can earn the grace that God has given you? like you can earn the grace that God has given you. That answers a big no for me. Me neither. Let's stop trying. Together, let's stop trying. Let's stop trying to earn something that's already done. Let's stop trying to work for something that's already done. It's already been done. Let's stop that together. Here's the ultimate question that I want you to ponder as we wrap it up here today. Do you believe that God really loves you? Think about that question. Do you believe that God really loves you? Not do you believe that God really loves us? I think everybody in this room would answer yes. God really loves us. He showed us he loves us. Does God really believe? Do you really believe that God loves you and you and you? Do I believe that God loves me? Does God think of Miss Lynn and say, I love Miss Lynn? She's so awesome. I love D. He's so awesome. I love when he talks to me. I love our relationship together. Does God look at Tyler and say, I love Tyler. Tyler's so awesome. I love Don. I made Don so unique. I made Tyler so unique. I made D so unique. I made Miss Lynn so unique. I made everybody so unique. Do you really believe that? That God loves you? That's what it all boils down to. Faith in God boils down to that. Think about that today. Does God really love you? And what is your response to that? Is your response working towards that? Is your response receiving that? Putting faith in it? And living it out? Lord, I pray for the decisions that are being made. I pray that we can ultimately receive your love, live it out in our lives. Pray that we can do that as a group of believers together, as a church, Lord. You've given us so much. We love you so much for it. We thank you today, and we love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.